When we say, we'll say yes to God, no matter what, when we say, God, whatever you say, whatever your word says, I'll do it. Why do we say that? Why do you say that? You know, here's what it is. It's faith. But why? Why do you have faith in that? Why will you do anything he says? Why will you do anything God says? Why will you do anything his word says? Why? Why? Well, Pastor, why are you getting on my case about this? I'm not getting on your case about this, but other people will. Why are you doing this? Why are you following the Bible? Why are you following God? And by the way, you need to know that. Faith. Hebrews 11, please. You would. Don't stand yet. Well, we'll read it. Because faith, I'm concerned that the idea of faith is misrepresented in the world, and then because Christians don't often think a lot, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to be rude, but sometimes Christians just go with things and they haven't done reason like we talked about this morning, and then that has crept into the thinking of a lot of Christians, what the world calls faith, but the Bible doesn't call faith. And so we're going to see what the Bible says about it, and then we'll do a little bit of talking about that, all right? Okay, so if you would, find your place, Hebrews 11, and stand. Now, you probably are familiar with these verses, but they're very important verses. There's a reason you're familiar with them. It's because this is the definition from biblical perspective here, what faith is. How is it? At least it's how it's described, okay? How do we get faith? Why do we have faith? What does it look like? That's what we're looking at here. And let's kind of put away what the world thinks about it and see what the Bible says. So, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And going on to verse 6, this isn't really our message today, but it's an important part of this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're going to talk about this today. What is faith? What is faith? Well, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage that brings clarity. Help me to bring it even more clear this morning. Help us to have a rock-solid understanding of what faith is, and help us to be people of true biblical faith. We love you. Christ in my faith. Amen. You may be seated. So the world sees Christians like this. They see Christians like people who believe in a fairy tale so that they can feel better about their life, right? A reason why they do what they do. Some crutch is kind of how the world puts it, to believe in Christianity so that your conscience is eased and you have somewhat of a purpose in life. And so they'll say things like this: you have to take that by faith. You can't prove it, so you have to take it by faith. And what's happened is we have taken, the world has, not me, and hopefully not you, but a lot of Christianity too, but the world has taken this to say that faith and reason are opposite. Faith and evidence are opposite. Faith and proof are opposite. That's how our world has defined faith. Whenever you get to the end of proof, now you take a leap of faith, right? That's how the world has taken that. And then it has become to this idea of blind faith. You're just following without really knowing why. And so Christianity does that, and they take that definition from the world and apply it to themselves and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it, right? Or I don't know if this is going to work out, but I'm just going to have faith that it will, right? I don't know if I can make this purchase, but by faith, I'll have it, you know. I don't know if I'll ever get married, but by faith, you know. And it's all these things that are not grounded in any kind of evidence, not grounded in any kind of principle. It's just, here's where faith comes in. When you really have no idea, you're just going to trust anyway. Faith is not that. Faith is not built on, I don't know why, but. It's actually the opposite. What did our verse say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are we talking about here? Hebrews 11, it's referred often as the Hall of Faith. We know that. The honor roll of the Old Testament, you know. The faith chapter. But just like every other chapter, every other passage in the Bible, it sits in the context, and it's part of a larger flow of thoughts. We've got to deal with that before we get into this, okay? The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who he is. Again, I don't really care to debate about it. We know who the ultimate writer is, and God wrote this for us, okay? Could have been Paul. We don't know for sure. But he is writing, whoever it is writing to, what do you think? Hebrews. Yeah. Someone's listening today. Nice. But he's not just writing to Hebrews of all time. He's not writing to Old Testament Hebrews even, really, because they would have understood a lot of things he's saying here already. He's writing to first century Hebrews. Remember, the same Hebrews that Paul went in and reasoned with. The same Hebrews that had some stuff wrong. The same Hebrews who didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, which is part one, like the main reason of this book, is to convince the Hebrews, which is why partly why a lot of people believe this is Paul's writings, because this is maybe what he used, these arguments to reason with the Jews in the synagogue, okay? But he's writing to convince these guys that Jesus is the Christ, okay? The other thing that's a problem with first century Hebrews, not just that they reject Christ, but that they have been operating by a Pharisaical work-based system, right? We know that in Luke. They, by and large, they've kind of dumped the Old Testament teaching, really, and gone to this works-based thing where they need to keep all of these rituals to be right with God. But God never intended for man to earn God's favor through doing works. It's never been the case. It's never, ever been the case. God has always been interested first in a man's heart, and we know what that means. The heart is not just emotions, it's the inner man. God is first interested in our minds, on the inside of us, and then that to then express on the outside of us. That's how God has always operated. But the Pharisees have flipped that around and made it a works thing. You do, you do, you do, and then you're right with God. In fact, that's the opposite of what God says. You need to be right with God inside, and because you're right with God, then you do, because it's always been. Because they had faith in God, they would do the sacrifice. Right? Because they had faith in God, they would keep the Old Testament law. But it was always bedrocked in the inner man and faith. That's why Hebrews 10:38, if you go back a couple verses before chapter 11, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith." He's quoting there Habakkuk 2:4, which says, "The just shall live by faith." And then he says, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's what God says. So God was consistently, throughout the Old Testament, rebuking Israel because they would try to keep the commandments of the law, but in their hearts, in their minds, on their inside, they weren't there. They were just showing up and doing the thing. Their heart were far from him. Physically, they were doing the thing. And God has never intended for that to be how it works. So God's plan has always then been to believe God by faith, to love God, and then because of your love for God, to keep his commandments, right? And not just because of your love for God, but because of your faith in him. When Israel offered sacrifices out of obligation or duty, instead of out of love and reverence, instead of out of faith and trust that God knows best and I'm going to do what God says, God told them if they did that, that their sacrifices stunk in his nostrils, God said, right? God hates that. God is never more offended than when mankind tries to outwardly please God with works, but then their heart is far from them. From him. Okay. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to help them see the Messiah is who he was, but then also to help them right here to clear up their confusion about faith here. Which, by the way, faith didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's what, if you read Hebrews 4, you'll find that out. Paul's writing to the Jews and he says, Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith before the law of Moses ever existed. Our forefather, you know, the one who really is the beginning of this whole thing, was justified by faith. It's always been by faith, but they had messed it up. And so Paul is writing to them to help them figure this out. So in verse 1, he says this. Now faith, or I say Paul, sorry. I told you in the beginning I didn't know, and now I'm doing that. I don't know who it was, but whoever it is, here it is, all right? Here's what he said. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, substance. Let's start there. Substance. Is that blind? No, a substance is not some mystical, I don't know for sure. Substance is the opposite of that. Substance is tangible. Substance is something you can get your hands on, right? It's something that is, something that exists, something that you do know for sure, right? And faith is being so convinced of something that you haven't seen so that you make decisions as if you've already seen it. Here's the point. Faith is based on substance, and then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. So there is evidence and there is substance that we latch onto that we have a good reason for, and then because of that evidence, because of that substance, we have faith something else will happen. Now, that's what it is there. Let me just chill out here and go nice and slow. Genesis 1 said, go to Genesis 1. Not Genesis 1, Romans 1. Go to Romans 1, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 1. So Paul said, no, the writer of Hebrews said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. Romans 1:20 says this, for the invisible things of him. Those are the not seen, right? Now faith, I will say this, faith does have to do with things we can't see. No man has seen God any time. I have not seen, ear have not heard what is held up for us in glory, right? We don't know, we can't see those things. But that doesn't mean it's blind faith. That doesn't mean we have no reason to believe this. That faith has a firm foundation on something that we have evidence for. Here's what it says. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly what? That's not blind. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We look at this creation and we know this. We know this. There is a God. Right? There's a God. He created this. And we have no excuse. That means no one's really, honestly, truly an atheist. I just can't believe it. There's no honest atheist. In their heart of hearts, they know there's a God. Why? Because the Bible's, we have confidence in the Word of God, right? We'll explain why that is here in a second. But listen, everyone knows there's a God. You look out there and you know. You exist. You're here. You were created. Something did this. Okay? And so we have that evidence. And there is a whole... Now, it's frustrating because in our school systems, we've got nothing but evolution and all that. Can I say garbage? Taught to our kids as if it's reality. They start off by, hey, here's the theory of evolution, but then let me talk to you like it's fact. But there is just as much or more evidence that says this world has not been evolved from nothing. There's a lot of evidence that says this universe was designed by an intelligent being. There's clear evidence for that. Clear evidence. Okay? So it's built on that. And in our heart of hearts, we know that. Because here's what it says too. To find it, now I'm getting it. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God put that in all of us to know there's a God. But we try to push that away. Okay? So first evidence of our faith. Everything you do for God is based on this. God is real. Right? The second evidence of our faith is that this is His Word. Now, in Sunday school class, we're going to teach you why we know this is His Word. That's a very important question. Almost more than the is God real question is this His Word question. Because everyone pretty much, you have to know God's real, right? And you can convince someone of that, whether they admit it or not. But is this His Word? Because that's an important question. Because we put faith in what? This. And nothing else. Not in premonitions we have. Not in dreams or visions. Not in I had a hunch, not in I know God told me. No, we put it in this alone. Here's the problem. There's other people who put their faith in a different book than this. There is the Book of Mormon. There is the Quran. There is the Catholic Bible, which is different than this one. There's the Jehovah's Witness Bible, which is different than this one. There's all kinds of religious texts. Why this one? There's reasons why. We need to know those reasons. We need to know those reasons. And I'm concerned that too many Christians don't know those reasons. And then they get out there and start to think, well, the Bible's right, but these are probably right too, and they get all, you know. We need to know why. But, and in Sunday school, we're going to deal with this. But if you know without a shadow of a doubt, God is real, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, by evidence and reason, that this is His Word, and anything in it, we can have faith in. And our faith is not blind. Our faith is very rational and reasonable. You see? And in fact, whenever you know this is God's Word and God exists, it's actually irrational to go against it. Right? To believe a man who has been on this earth for less than 100 years over the creator of the universe is irrational. So if you know this is God's Word, you can stand always. Right? That's what we need. It's pretty cool. I know he made you leave Hebrews, but let's do one more thing. I think it's Hebrews 2. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, we're going to deal with this in depth, but for today, I want you to just know this. Everything we have here, we have someone with literal eye and ear witness of hearing God's very voice speak. Eyewitness testimony. Very quickly. The first five books of the Bible were written by who? Moses. How? Mount Sinai. And Moses was on top of the mount. Remember the big dark cloud? We're going to show you this in our series. But when God spoke to Moses, Moses is the only one who heard God, right? But God said, make sure the people are close enough that they can hear my voice. You know why he said that? Because that means a million people know that Moses was talking to God. Now, they didn't hear all the words. But when Moses came down the mountain, they didn't have to just trust him. They knew this came from God. And there's a million witnesses. That's pretty credible, don't you think? And then from then on, the rest of the Old Testament is bedrocked and filtered through the Old Testament, through those first five books, right? Everything, Jeremiah, okay? Jeremiah is a prophet of God. Jeremiah says, God spoke to me. And Jeremiah says, God's going to destroy you, Israel. Why? Because the law of Moses said, if you leave me, this is what's going to happen. But then there's other prophets. Yeah, I think we'll be fine, Israel. Well, why do you think? Well, God told me that he's going to not do that thing he said in the law of Moses. Okay, I don't care what you say. This guy, he lines up with the law of Moses that was witnessed and verified by a million people. I'm going with him. Are you following? And we can do that with every word in this book. And we'll show you how. But this is the word of the living God. And we can rest in it. And our faith is founded in that. If your faith is not founded in anything, then that is dangerous. And the atheist is right to question you, to say, you don't even know why you believe this. You have no evidence for that. Yeah, you do. You can. It's here. We have evidence for why we believe what we believe. And honestly, it is the only rational thing there is. Everything else is absolutely irrational. And I don't want to be the Christians who have sacrificed being intelligent and rational being. I think I'm nervous that decades ago, Christians have decided I don't want to be smart anymore. I'm just going to have faith. No, no, listen. Your faith is founded in this. And it's rational and it's logical. And we need to use the brains that God gave us to deal with Him that way. We need to do that. Amen? And so starting next week, we'll start that. But I just want to get your appetite wet for that. And all of us can do this. All of us can go from where we are now to a little bit further down the road of reasoning with God. God said, come, sit down, let us reason together. Here's how He does that, primarily through a book that He wrote. And we need to learn, right? And reason with Him. Don't reason with Him by feelings and emotions, and I have peace or I don't have peace. Reason with Him through this. The Bible says. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy than the very words of the spoken audible words of God he heard. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And it's right here. It's the scripture, he said. Holy men of God moved as they wrote down. The scripture came that way. This is where we place our faith. This right here. Truth. And the word of God. Amen? Make sense? All right, we'll pray and we'll let you get out of here. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that we don't have to wonder if your word is true. Thank you for the evidence you provided for us that we can know. We can know, not wonder if it's real, but have solid evidence, substance to lean on, to know you're real. Your word is true. We can always trust it. And then when we're persuaded that way, we are, through reason and through dispute and through opening and alleging like Paul did, when we're persuaded in our minds that you're real, that we place our faith and trust you. Help us to do that. We love you. Pray that you bless this time of invitation. Christ in my prayer. Amen. We're going to stand together. The mic is playing through.